Is it possible for the Apostle Paul to teach the doctrine of faith alone without using the words faith alone? Find out in my column in the Latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Katie Price Vogel writes about her journey from the false assurance of works in Roman Catholicism to the true assurance of Jesus' accomplished work in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Postmodernism, in its sort of rejection of truth overall, has left this one area of truth remaining, and that's the lens of power.
Social justice is not compatible with a biblical commitment. CRT, critical race theory, is not compatible with a biblical commitment at all. And neither is liberation theology.
Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in Jesus. And the strength of our faith completely depends on the strength of the object of our faith.
When you separate the work of the Holy Spirit and the receiving of the Holy Spirit from the waters of baptism, then you open yourself up to the false teaching of the Pentecostal and charismatic movement that you can be a Christian but not have the Holy Spirit.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Those two words, for us, embody our Lutheran understanding of the blessed exchange that Christ was born and died for us, taking our place.
New parents love listening to Issues Etc. in the middle of the night.
We like to hear from our listeners. We know that our listeners like listening, but they also like joining the conversation. We welcome your show suggestions, your questions, your criticisms, and your comments, and we've left two ways open for you to submit those. One is our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the other is the Issues Etc. comment line. That's 618-223-8382. We'll be going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line here, and then a little bit later, we'll talk about Hearing the Voice of Christ with Dr. John Bombaro, author of a recent column titled Silencing Self-Voice. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382.
You know, I don't know who's cleared their voice more today, you or me, but I don't think my cough switch in the unnamed studio works. Yours does.
Yeah.
I'm pushing it. Let me, 1, 2, 3, 4. Anything happen?
No, okay.
You can't turn that board off.
I know I can turn the board off, but it's, I got a switch here. It says cough.
Jeff has a non-COVID, he's verified it, a non-COVID respiratory condition. Nobody really cares what you have as long as it's not COVID. And if you go to the doctor and you say, hey, I've got a respiratory condition, and then they test you for COVID and you're negative, they say, go home. We don't need to look at you. You're just sick.
Now, this will make you really popular and influence lots of people. Cough in public and just say, no worries. It's just low-grade COVID, mild COVID. I dare you to do that in mixed company. Oh, don't worry. It's just low-grade COVID. We've been talking about that for months here. It's mild COVID. Hey,
for all we know, Craig has tested positive for COVID, just hasn't told us. Or if he had some sort of half COVID that we'll find out months from now. Oh, yeah, I tested positive.
It's possible that when I did say that, I meant it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You just never know with Craig whether or not you're getting the whole story.
Right. Craig, half calf, Feichtinger. Anyway, the cough switch doesn't work here. So memo to Ralph, our engineer, to get the on-off cough switch. That's kind of neat. I like those buttons. You got those.
You know, but I just turn it off. I don't. Let me see. My cough does work.
Yeah.
But I never use it. I just turn myself off. So.
Okay. Jason has a great point here. Jason said, normal spoilers aside, you ruined Spider-Man. And now I know all of the other Spider-Man actors are in it. Sheesh. So, hey, let's pay $50 for popcorn and Diet Mr. Piv for no amazing film experience, writes Jason. He's talking about your review of Spider-Man No Way Home with Pastor Ted Geese.
We should probably always say that we're going to spoil because we generally do spoil the plot of these things. So, and we know that people have a certain attachment to like the Marvel movies or particular superhero movies. So we should probably always say spoiler alert. And if you don't want to know some key plot element, then just don't listen to this or wait to listen to it.
Is Jeff in there coughing? I can hear him coughing now.
No,
he wasn't. Oh, okay. All right. I thought he had that cough switch off or something.
No, I did actually was coughing, but I had my mic off because my cough switch doesn't work in the unnamed studio.
Ralph will take care of that.
That's right. Nolan writes, "While I was listening over the past few years to Issues, Etc., I've noticed that there's one subject you always talk about is the subject that deals with marriage and family. In this one subject, Issues, Etc. covers a variety of topics. The topics are underpopulation. Why are young people getting married later in life? Why young are not getting married? And why are young people not having children? This subject and related topics are not only talked about in the Issues, Etc. podcast, but in sermons, Bible studies, camp discussions, Facebook posts, and magazine articles. Over the years, I have always had a few questions on my mind. Why do you harp on this subject so much? Other than writing about this subject and talking about this subject on podcasts, have you actually done anything about this so-called problem? How do you know that underpopulation is not God's will? In the synod and in the secular culture, when a single person is trying to look for a spouse, they usually get stupid advice like, it'll happen, or just be yourself. If you're so concerned with underpopulation, why do you realize that population will bounce back in God's time? If it is in God's time that a person will get married and children, then why is the synod so upset? How do you know population will bounce back when you least expect it? Who is the audience of these podcasts and articles? What is the synod doing? I assume he's talking about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. What is the synod doing about this so-called problem? Are you introducing two single people to each other? I write this email because it seems that the only solution to this issue is producing podcasts, interviewing people, complaining, yell at your single family and friends, write countless Facebook posts, and writing articles. Hope all is well, and God bless, concludes Nolan.
I don't know a lot of what he's talking about there because all we do is produce a podcast. So I don't think I've written any articles on the childless phenomenon, the less than, I think people should care about the less than replacement rate of our fertility rate, not in the Western world, because if only for economic reasons, if we're not replacing ourselves, our population will shrink. And that means there will be less people to work, less people to produce things, less people to, that those are just secular reasons for being concerned about it. These are the kind of things governments are actually concerned about. They're concerned that, say, in Sweden, their fertility rate is even lower than the United States. As a Christian, you should probably be concerned too, because for some reason, people are avoiding having children. Now, the big one is they're aborting most of their kids. That's one where we have a very clear, thus saith the Lord, and we'll continue to talk about that. But just in terms of kind of a secular or religious reason for being concerned about the size of the population, we do have that command, be fruitful and multiply. That has not been rescinded. That has not been undone in any way whatsoever. So we, within the bounds of marriage, we are commanded to, insofar as we can, to have children. That doesn't mean have as many children as we possibly can, but just not to avoid the birth of children. Certainly not by abortion, but also by any other means. So that's why we talk about it. We do talk a lot about it because there's a lot being written about it, because there are a lot of people concerned about the size of the family, the future of the family, if only for economic or sociological reasons. And when that subject comes up as much as it does, we interview experts on the subject. There's something else there. Oh, I don't want to leave the impression that somehow we here at Issues, Etc., in any way speak for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now, there have been some statements made in the last several years or so about part of the problem that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod faces is a fertility problem. We do face a fertility problem. And that means it has ramifications for individual congregations in the future. If parents are not having enough children to replace themselves, your congregation will get smaller. And then the synod as a whole will be smaller as well. Now, that may be what you want, but people are concerned about it. I think what the synod has had to say about it, which again, we do not speak for synod, our guests do not speak for synod unless it's someone who's speaking for synod. their concern is about the future of the institution that we call the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And if the population is going to grow smaller, if our congregations are going to get smaller, and therefore the institution is going to grow smaller, that means we have to prepare for that. And we have to ask a question like, why are our congregations shrinking? You know the number one reason our congregations are shrinking? We didn't have the kids. And that's a mistake we made 30 years ago or more. It's irrefutable. The reason our congregations are shrinking is because we didn't have the kids. That's the number one reason. It's not the only reason, but it is the number one reason. And the numbers are irrefutable.
In regards to our emailer, I think he might be a little more obsessed with the topic than we are. I'm just looking at the shows from recently. Prayer, what I wish my non-Lutheran family understood about Brian Wolfmiller. Teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Raises Lazarus, media coverage of the Vatican, looking forward to Sunday morning, Epiphany 1, looking forward to Sunday morning, the baptism of Jesus, physics and multiverse theories, woke journalism. Yeah, that's this week's. Your unanswered Bible questions, top biblical archaeology discoveries of 2022. Wow, imagine that. We've gone the whole week, and I don't think that subject's come up once.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it harping on it, but we do talk about the family a lot, but it's not something we return to on a daily basis. We do it as the opportunity presents itself. And look, I'm all in with you on the plight of the single in the church. It's something the church could do a lot better at trying to do what community and church used to do more. It's part of it has to do with the fragmentation of our institutions, including our congregations, where you just show up and the interaction you have with your fellow parishioners may be limited to nothing more than that hour on Sunday morning. You say, I'd like to meet someone, but there's no opportunity. Congregations should be concerned about that. They really should. And that's been a problem I've been a pastor. Today is the 31st anniversary of my ordination.
That's right. Epiphany.
Mm-hmm. And so I've been a pastor for 31 years, and I was dealing with this issue in a small congregation 31 years ago. Single people in the congregation saying to me, Pastor, I don't know where I can meet someone. I want to find a Christian man or a Christian woman. I don't know where I can do that. Most of us found our spouse either at college or someplace else. And now in the world of online dating and online meeting people, a lot of that has changed, but I feel for you as a single person.
Mark writes, first, I greatly enjoy the comment line and email segments. Second, in Luke 9, Jesus sends the 12 apostles to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. In verse 6, it reads, they preached the gospel and did healings. At this point in his ministry, what was the gospel message the apostles were preaching, since we know they weren't preaching the gospel in its fullness as we understand it today? Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Mark.
That's actually a fantastic question. I don't think I've ever had that question asked before. If only for that reason, it's a fantastic question. So, part of your question is, what is the gospel, the good news that the disciples are proclaiming? Because at this point, we're given to believe they don't know the whole story. Now, they've been told by Jesus that he would be handed over, arrested, tried, and crucified and rise again. He's told them this. But they, at least the way the Gospels portray it to us, they're not putting two and two together when it comes to that being good news. They generally respond to that in one of two ways. They either, like Peter, try to prevent it from happening, or they start plotting on who's going to take over for Jesus, arguing who among them is greatest. So they do have a deficiency in their understanding. But the gospel that they're preaching, the good news is Jesus is the Christ. Do they know exactly what that means? No. But that's their message. Jesus is the Christ. And the reason I say that is because when one of those apostles, not called with the 12, but Paul, is called as an apostle, he, after his baptism, goes into the synagogue, and we're told what his message is. He was in the synagogue every Sabbath, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. That was their message. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Christ. So they're preaching the same thing that Jesus did, the repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Now, I think there's a reason why in the Gospels we don't hear any sermons from Peter. They're probably not worth listening to. Then we get to Acts when he has seen Christ raised from the dead, and he has seen And he has had his mind open to understand the scriptures so that he can see what it means that Jesus is the Christ, that that death and resurrection was not something to be prevented, but something that is good news for the whole world. Then we get his sermons. Now they're worth listening to. Their preaching at the beginning was probably very simple. Jesus says, say to the towns that reject you, nevertheless, the kingdom of God has come near you. When we come back, a little more listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line on this Thursday, January the 6th.
But it's a good refrain. You'll listen to it twice, 'cause the DJ is asleep on the radio. On the radio. On the radio. Uh-oh. On the radio. Uh-oh. On the radio. Uh-oh. On the radio.
Is James' teaching on faith, works, and justification reconcilable with the rest of Scripture? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is the new Concordia Commentary on James. It's written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Curtis Giese. The Concordia Commentary on James is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on James, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Those two words, for us, embody our Lutheran understanding of the blessed exchange that Christ was born and died for us, taking our place.
CRT, critical race theory, is not compatible with the biblical commitment at all, and neither is liberation theology.
Postmodernism, in its sort of rejection of truth overall, has left this one area of truth remaining, and that's the lens of power.
When you separate the work of the Holy Spirit and the receiving of the Holy Spirit from the waters of baptism, then you open yourself up to the false teaching of the Pentecostal and charismatic movement that you can be a Christian but not have the Holy Spirit.
Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in Jesus. And the strength of our faith completely depends on the strength of the object of our faith.
That's just a taste of the 5 soundbites that you will get to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year tomorrow on Issues Etc. We've come to the beginning of a new year. Those are the top vote getters for Soundbite of the Week throughout 2021. We'll play them for you in their entirety, and you get to not only listen, but vote for one of them to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. And the listener with the best vote will get all 12 of the Issues Etc. Books of the Month. And you can vote by giving us a call tomorrow, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Send us an email with your vote, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Oh, you can also use the comment line, 618-223-8382.
You know, most people have what's called the post-Christmas blues. The first day coming back from Christmas break. Not here at LPR Inc. Because we know that later that week, it'll be the momentous occasion of Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year.
That just gets you pumped, doesn't it?
Everybody. I mean, Deaconess.
That's all we can talk
got
about.
Got a little more dance in her step out there in the lobby. And well, Craig's, I don't know. Craig's always jovial.
That's true.
But
well,
we're all just giddy.
And we have another reason, actually, because our listeners have yet again for how many years running now?
Well, again, is it years or is it, so 2008.
Round up. Jeff always gets worried about the fiscal
2008 years. 2008 to 2022.
We're beginning the that would be, I guess, our 14th
14,
year.
Yes, 14. If you need an extra hand, just look at me and I'll...
13 or 14.
But they're not full years, right?
No, but for the, let's just say for the sake of argument, rounding up, that for the 14th year in a row, we have been independent into the black thanks to our listeners. This year is no exception. They helped us make budget yet again this year, and we thank them profusely. They are the only reason that we are on the air, their support in the many forms that it comes. So thank you very much for listening, and thanks for supporting Issues Etc. this last year, and for your support in the coming year.
And while we're thanking people, I'm going to thank Chris at Alert, A-L-E-R-T Electric in St. Jacob, Illinois, for fixing the light number 3 in the unnamed studio.
He came in, now I think I heard this while I was doing show prep, came in, pulled the light down, and saw that it was just unplugged.
Right.
So all of his electrician's training was unneeded. But he did do something out on the outside of the building, didn't he? I heard him pounding around.
Yes, our light on the side of the building no longer worked, which, were it not for Deaconess taking the trash out every night, I don't park my car on that side, I wouldn't even know that light was out. But yeah, he put a nice new LED light.
Oh, good.
So thanks to Chris and Alert Electric, and thanks again for the smartest and most faithful listeners in podcasting and radio for helping us make budget.
We couldn't pay Chris to come in and use his expertise to plug something in if it were not for our listeners' generous support.
Well, yeah, who knows what that bill's going to look like. We might have the money to pay Chris. You know, I haven't seen the bill yet.
He seemed like a nice guy.
He's a good guy. Arthur writes, how do we, you, me, the presidium of the LCMS, what's the presidium? It's the presidents and... Vice presidents.
Presidents, vice presidents, and sometimes included are the district presidents, depending on how you're using the term.
How do we, you, me, the presidium, and our seminaries correct the obvious error that many of our pastors are condoning in our Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregations, and that is, ready for this, permitting women to serve as communion assistants, and in addition, permitting women to publicly read the Old Testament lesson, the epistle, and in some cases, the gospel, which usurps the authority of the office of the ministry? It's a great question, Arthur.
And it's one that we have yet to solve now after about 10 years when the Missouri Synod made the conscious decision. It's been more than 10 years, probably 15 years, since the Missouri Synod made the conscious decision in convention to allow congregations that wanted to do this to go ahead and do it. It was a mistake at the time. It does not overtly usurp the office of the ministry. I think with the exception of the reading of the scriptures publicly, that is something given in scripture to the pastors. Paul says to Timothy, until I return, attend to the public reading of scripture. It's one of the things that the pastor is to do. No small thing there. But it's something that needs to be corrected, but it's something that needs to be corrected with good, sound teaching first, and then take the necessary action to say, look, we agree as congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod not to do this. But as long as it is the convention passed, what shall we say, a resolution saying this is what we will permit, first we must teach against it, as we ought to, and then we need to say this should not be allowed to go on, and then somebody needs to write a resolution. If we had more pastors out there who not only wrote resolutions but wrote them properly, because a lot of times these things die in committee because they're improperly written, knew how to write a resolution, a lot of things could get done in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have a few people who know how to do that. Good old Dr. Ken Cherb. He knows how to write a resolution.
He's the best.
He knows how to write it and then how to help it survive through all the various committees that they have to go through.
The floor committees. Call me crazy, but why do lay people want to do that? I remember the times that I was elder on duty and had to help distribute the individual cups. Well, I had to because nobody else was there to do it. But what's driving that? I want to get up and I want to read the scriptures.
I don't think it's always a bad motivation. But again, it's from a lack of good teaching. But I think sometimes it is an attempt to kind of, we're going to knock the pastor down a few pegs by showing that anybody can walk up here and do this. Of course you can. The question is, should you? So if it's an attempt to knock down the pastor or the pastoral office a few pegs, that's a terrible motivation for doing something. It's an awful, even if the pastor is telling you that's a good idea, it's an awful reason to do it. But yes, and I was raised in the typical kind of middle of the road to left Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation. And I thought nothing of it. We would have, women read the scriptures and we would have them doing all kinds of things. And it was just kind of the practice. And I thought nothing of it until I knew better. And then I was like, well, we probably shouldn't have been doing that. If only for the picture, they call it now, the optics, the picture that it presents and the confusion that it introduces.
All right, this comes from Sarah. She says, I know she had several requests for more Advent music on your sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. I agree and wondered why this was a popular thought. I find I turn on LPR more in December because of the Christmas music on the normal radio. I understand Jeff's point about a limited set of Advent songs, but I personally wouldn't mind hearing the same songs repeating every 90 minutes, especially if they are different artists and arrangements. I usually listen for short time periods, but I don't know if that is typical for your listeners. Thanks for the suggestion. Thanks for listening, Sarah.
Well, and I think you're right. If you're listening just for a short amount of time, you probably wouldn't notice it. But it's not just a problem of not having enough Advent hymns themselves. It's a problem not having enough recordings of those Advent hymns as well. So even if it were different artists, different people performing those hymns, it would still be a very short playlist that would be repeating at all through the 4 weeks of Advent at a pretty annoying rate.
I wonder, though, and somebody suggested last time about maybe setting a block of time to do that.
Just to do nothing but Advent hymns.
What if this Sunday we just play Epiphany-only music and see what happens?
All day long?
All day long. Of course, you have the Bach Cantata, which will be related to the probably this coming Sunday. I don't know if it'll be Baptism of Jesus.
It'll be Baptism of Jesus, probably.
Yeah, or the Boy Jesus in the Temple. I don't know. Maybe we should just do it.
Because actually, Epiphany is kind of like Advent. There are not a ton of Epiphany. There are, usually we get away with it by just doing Christmas and Epiphany hymns because the two seasons, you can't separate them from one another.
I guess you don't know until you try, right? So maybe. Remind me. Put that.
All right.
Remind me.
All right. Sunday.
Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday,
Sunday.
Send
me a text message Saturday night. Say, hey, don't forget to put a new playlist, LPR.
A new Epiphany-only playlist, and then we'll see how people like it.
And the list will be 46 minutes.
No, you're joking, right?
I don't know. I don't know. Depends how many recordings of As With Gladness Men of Old we have.
I mean, go look in your hymnal. I had one here a minute ago. Look in your hymnal, go to the Epiphany section, count how many hymns there are, and you see our dilemma.
Tuomo writes, greetings from Finland. I am 38 years old. I just found this radio station. I'm a Lutheran Christian, and I like that there is Lutheran radio. I will listen to your station today and every day. Thanks for listening in Finland, Tuomo.
Thank you very much. I think I'm assuming it's a he. Not the only Finnish person we have listening. So we're happy. It's the miracle of the internet where it's not a terrestrial broadcast signal. It can go all over the world and people all over the world can listen and they can listen every single day. Issues ETC www.thewordofgod.org. When we return, Dr. John Bombaro joins us. We're going to be talking with him about preaching and hearing the voice of Christ rather than your own.
That it just wasn't real, but that's not the way it feels. Operator, oh, could you help me, please?
Is it possible for the Apostle Paul to teach the doctrine of faith alone without using the words faith alone? Find out in my column in the Latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Katie Price Vogel writes about her journey from the false assurance of works in Roman Catholicism to the true assurance of Jesus' accomplished work in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Greetings and God's blessings from Faith Lutheran Church and Preschool in Marinette, Wisconsin. It is our sincere hope and prayer that you would be edified by God's Word as we gather together to receive His gifts in the historic liturgy of the Church. Join us Sundays for divine service at 9 a.m. at the corner of County Road T and Irving Street, just a block south of the roundabout here in Marinette. You can contact us at 715-735-6506 on Facebook or at our website, www.faithmarinette.org.
This is Deaconess Betsy Dodgers at Concordia University Chicago, inviting all high school students to attend the annual Careers for Christ weekend in person on our beautiful campus in River Forest. Careers for Christ is February 4th through 6th. You'll have the opportunity to learn about professional church vocations while having fun with CUC staff, faculty, and students. For more information, visit cuchicago.edu/C4C.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois; Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin; Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada; Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Lititz, Pennsylvania; Pacific Hills Lutheran, Omaha, Nebraska; Reformation Lutheran, Hillsboro, Oregon; St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania; St. Paul Lutheran, Wildwood, Missouri; University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado; and Trinity Lutheran, Scottsboro, Alabama. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.